أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. طه، ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى إلا تذكرة لمن يخشى. تنزيلا ممن خلق الأرض والسماوات العلى. الرحمن على العرش استوى. له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وما بينهما وما تحت الثرى. وإن تجهر بالقول فإنه يعلم السر وأخفى. الله لا إله إلا هو له الأسماء الحسنى. وهل أتاك حديث موسى إذ رأى نارا فقال لأهلهم امكثوا إني آنست نارا لعلي آتيكم منها بقبس أو أجد على النار هدى. فلما آتاها نودي يا موسى إني أنا ربك فاخلع عليك إنك بالوادي المقدس طوى. وأنا اخترتك فاستمع لما يوحى. إنني أنا الله لا إله إلا أنا فاعبدني وأقم الصلاة لذكري. إن الساعة آتية أكاد أخفيها لتجزى كل نفس بما تسعى. فلا يصدنك عنها من لا يؤمن بها واتبع هواه فتردى.
والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم والتابعين إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم ارزقني علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء. اللهم نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفعه ومن قلب لا يخشعه ومن عين لا تدمعه ومن نفس لا تشبعه ومن دعاء لا يستجاب له. Ameen, Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Like I always tell you, please we set intention. We set intention. Very important to set the intention. Very important to set the intention. And I have to set my intention, you have to set your intention. Why you coming here and what do you want? Because according to intention, the angel reporting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and according to intention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us. Now, alhamdulillah, in last 1 week we talk about too many topics. Before I continue, if anybody has a question, concern, if anybody has something to tell me about what he gained in last couple of weeks, MashaAllah. Actually, what this young lady said, she said something, the majority of Muslim books is translated wrong. When we said word deen in Arabic is not meaning religion. Actually, if you translate word deen, meaning a way of life. A way of life. Word deen is a way of life. Manhaj Hayah, a constitution, my manner, my character. his own deen, mashallah. And actually, you want to know who you are? See what you have. The reflection of your behavior, character and manner and sound and voice, all this together is your deen. MashaAllah. Anybody else? Anybody else? Milestone?
No.
This one was a book.
Something
for your mind. Ihya Ulum al-Din? Yes, Ihya Ulum al-Din. Ihya Ulum al-Din. Yes, it is. It has the same name in English. Later on, I can give you the information. Okay? Say it again. MashaAllah, if we love Allah, we have to obey Him.
Before you start learning the Quran, there are some manners that has to be in you.
Before you start learning Quran, you should start learning the manner of reading Quran. MashaAllah. What else? Now all the female and our woman, inshaAllah, is talking. What about our young youth? I do not want you to be an audience and that's a guess.
She said that I think she had that song. When you hurt somebody, actually, when you press somebody, it's like when
destroys the car. One of the things she get most is the dangerous and the very harmful of torturing somebody or oppressing somebody. Because she heard the hadith of the meaning of the one who oppressed a Muslim is more hated in the eye of Allah than the one who destroys the Kaaba. And this brings me a topic I'm going to tell you, and please is distributed. Because this topic I consider today one of the topic can erase 99% of our problem between each other. Do you know what is it? Talking to your mom about detailing your life. Talking to your mom about detailing your life. Meaning you are a daughter or a son. You talk to your mom about certain things happening, married or not married. Before you know it, the mom will take it. Call her aunt. Her aunt calls the cousin calls that. And before you know it, the whole community talking about your affair and your problem. And before you know it, your mom will come and complain to you. You see what you did to me? You see what you did? And she's the one she distributed in the first place. And before you know it, World War III in the house and the locality. Why? Why we do that? Because how many of our mother have Islam? How many of our mother have the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How many of our mother have wisdom? And know which word she can say, which word she has to be quiet. We do not have that. We love to talk. And before you know it, we love to distribute the talk. And before you know it, everybody coming with a new version. And before you know it, you go for months, try to correct something you do not even say. And now we are busy for 1 month talking and gossiping and backbiting and angry and crying and fighting for something even never happened before. All that because a simple talk between a daughter and a mother or a son and a mother. Especially when you get married. The mother will persuade you, come on my daughter, tell me what happened. And before you know it, you're so naive. Oh, it's my mom. And you tell her everything to your mom. And before, you did this, how you dare you did this, and before you know it, she make you feel miserable, and she call your husband someone whatever, she calls his mother, the mother call your mother, the husband get upset, everybody go in fire, and why? Because you is a criminal from the beginning. Why you talk to your mom from the beginning? You want to talk to your mom? Very simple. I will teach you a sentence. If you keep your tongue with this sentence, I promise you, you save yourself in this life and hereafter. If your mom asks you, how is your husband? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. How is the family? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. How he treat you? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. How is the affair of the house? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. How is his job? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. How is the money? Alhamdulillah. Every question, you have only one answer. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Any another topic, do you know if he even said, I have a flu? Why you have a flu? How he doesn't care about you? What you taking? Let me know. I'm going to call, and before you know it, the whole big deal just about you have a flu. I want to buy something. Why you buy it? Why you do not tell me? Any topic you think about it, your mother will never leave you alone. It's a calamity. It is your mother, your aunt, your uncle, your cousin, your grandparents, whatever. By this way, I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I bear witness Allah is one, and Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I bear witness, nobody destroy our family more than us. Nobody destroy our own family and marriages more than us. The mother, the grandmother, the father, the aunt, with our negligence, our no knowledge, no Islam, no Sunnah. The first one to destroy you as a daughter is your own mom. How many mom can really you share with them? Maybe one every 10 million. She has Islam and Sunnah. And from the one in 10 million, how many of them have wisdom and loving Allah? And she returns the topic to Allah with simple talk. Maybe one every 100 million. And believe me, even this one every 100 million, I never saw it in my life. I never saw it in my life. Show me one. Show me one who will give her own daughter or her own son advice according to Quran and Sunnah, and that's it. But the loving of our kids is overwhelming us. To the point we destroy ourselves, we're destroying our kids. And let me tell you from my experience in life, the first one she pays a price for her own son and daughter, the one she loved them so much. The one she's paying, so she's spoiling her own kids, she's the one always get beat up by their same kids. Beat up. Today in the Ummah, kids beating the mother. Kids taking the mother to jail. Take them to the mental institute. Just for inheritance. Or something. Or a piece of gold. Or an apartment or a house. By this way, please, learn to control your tongue. Learn just to say, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. I came in this country 24 years ago. And when I came, I was a young man, 21 years old. I used to say the truth, and before you know it, all kind of nightmare over me. Either I'm crazy, or I'm bad, or I'm good, all kind of problem. And once I start learning to say, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, that's it. Even sickness, nobody knows. I'm getting married, I'm getting divorced, I'm getting sick, I'm dying, nobody knows about me. When my death certificate will arrive, they will know. Why? You cannot share. You cannot share. The moment you share, you ask them for trouble. Okay, the question here now, what about me as a young person? How and whom I sharing to? I need advice. Islam has the constitution. You as a male or female, young or old, have the right to seek knowledge. Have the right to seek advice and consultation of learned person or scholar. That's it. And actually, Islamically, any time you talk about your own house, you're betraying the secret of the house. But not in a Pakistani or Arabic style. What it mean? Today the mother or the wife can get beat up. The husband treats her very bad and she cannot talk. Why she cannot talk? Because she does not want to spread and betray the house. No, 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 no. This now talking against justice. Meaning, if you your husband is treat you bad or beat you up or abuse you or dealing with you in a bad manner, you have the right to stand up. You have the right to say no. You have the right to go to askar or another person and say, Islamically, according to Allah and Rasulullah, this is what's happening, what I do. Don't even talk to your mom. Don't talk to nobody. Talk to Allah number one and talk to another person to tell you step by step what is your right Islamically. But don't go to your own sheikh in your own locality. He'll tell you, be patient already, go. Don't talk. Because he knows the same. You see? But go far away to somebody you trust, and that's it. And if you do not like the answer, keep asking 2-3 people until you find the right answer. How do you know? Very simple. It's like second opinion in surgery. Keep going to 2-3 people until 2 answers will be matching. Because Islam is one, Quran is one. 2 people have to match. What happens if too many people give you a different opinion? Cry to Allah and ask Him, Allah, show me the truth. This is very important, please. Because I see today a lot of mischief happened to the Ummah. But before we blaming our mom and our grandparents and our auntie and our father, cousin and niece, blame yourself. Because we have a habit. Once we sit down with somebody, and we love to spread everything we have. Even if we don't do it, even inside, is wrong. Is wrong, is wrong. It's not fun. Please don't do that. Save yourself in this life and hereafter. This is, believe it or not, I see it because I see a lot of calamity, a lot of houses broken, a lot of houses broken, a lot of mischief in the family, a lot of women is miserable, a lot of men is miserable. Why? Because our talking. Because our talking. And when the time comes, you remember the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam and his son Ismail alayhi salam when he visited his son. Do you remember the story? When the first time he visited his son's house and the wife said, my husband is not good, I do not have good meat, I do not have good bread, I do not have. What he said to her? Tell your husband to change the steps of the door. Now, if you read the story in detail by different scholars, what do you say? Because the woman, no, she betrayed the trust of the house. Meaning, you cannot be as a woman, sitting with another woman and say, oh, my husband, you know, he's so bad, he making only 25,000, and so making 35,000, and he gives me meat once in a week, and so and so get meat twice a week. You cannot do that. You cannot talk about the affair of the house. Unless you're talking to a learned person or a scholar with the intention to get a consultation, Islamic consultation. But making AT&T making money and making Verizon making money, you know, and you do, no. This is completely not acceptable Islamically. You have only one time, you have the right to seek guidance. But not through different sister and different whatever. Unless the sister you're talking to her, she's so learned, she's so wise, you're trusting her own opinion. And this is another disease of the Ummah. All of us want to be a scholar, all of us want to be a learned, and all of us want to give consultation and give fatwa to everybody. And this is dangerous too. Very dangerous. Because if you're honest, then please, I do not have knowledge, go to somebody, have the knowledge, and that's it. But do not listen for 20 minutes about the story and after that, Tara, I do not know. Tara, please, I do not know. Finished. This topic is very dangerous. And even for you as young men, you see, us as young men, the mother take you, they make you sit down next to her in a bed and keep talking to you. And before you know it, the boy grow up, get married. And before you know, he tell his mom everything happening in his own bedroom. And before you know, his mother is causing a lot of trouble. Now the wife is upset. And she has a right to be upset. Because you're not a man. You are a mommy boy. You're not a Muslim. You're not a man. Oh, my mommy, tell me. Is your mom is Allah? Is your mom is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Yes, you have to obey your mom. You have to be kind to your mom. But everybody has rights. Your wife has rights. Please, I'm getting hurt because you do not know what I hear. And the amount of phone calls, all kind of problem. And house is broken, woman is crying, woman get abused, or men want to commit suicide. And why? Because the wife or the mother. Not because the Jew and the Christian, because the mother, the grandmother, the aunt, the uncle. These are the ones that's spreading mischief. These are the ones spreading mischief. And if you really start your journey to Islam, say the truth. My mom, please, can you go read Quran, read Sunnah? And even you cannot do, you would do that. You said, excuse me, you are so young, you come teaching us, we know better than you. But I said, you cannot argue with adults today, you cannot. They have no Quran, they have no Sunnah. And they only argue you, please, why? This topic, please, if I die, I said to Allah, I advise you. This advice can save you your life, in this life and hereafter. Listen to me before I die. Be a man and be a woman. And learn how to control your tongue. What has to be said and to whom to be said. Not to everybody. Is this understood, inshallah? Okay. Inshallah, we're going to continue with the keys of Jannah. And after that, we're going to try to go to Revelation and to see what kind of wisdom we can gain from Revelation can benefit to us. And please, when we talk about the keys of Jannah, this key of Jannah, believe me, each one is unique. And if you collect them together, they can create to you a beautiful a wake-up call to all of us. And why I do that, let me tell you my intention. My intention is, you remember when we said when we read Quran, before we read Quran, Quran reading us. And imagine if I'm going dirty to Quran, how I read Quran? Is you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open for me anything?
No.
I will read the ink of the Quran, but I will not get the wisdom of the Quran. The wisdom of Quran only appear in your heart and your eyes according to your clearness and cleansing and purifying of your heart. According to your istiqamah, what you're talking about. And please also for men, or astaghfirullah al-azim, may Allah forgive me for male and female. Because I always say a huge difference between a man and a woman. Huge difference between a female and a woman. Huge difference between a male and a man. Imagine what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, من المؤمنين رجال. Among the believer is men. Allah never said the believer is men. Among the believer is men. صدقوا ما عهد الله عليه. There was truthfulness in what they commit between them and Allah. And by the way, if you want to summarize what we're going to talk about in next 1 month or so, I will tell you one thing. Only 3 words from Quran is enough for all of us. Don't ever forget them. 3 words in Quran and they are the same, identical. These 3 words, all of us what we need. All of us, the ummah, what we need. وَالَّذِي جَاءَ بِالصِّدْقَ وَصَدَّقَ بِهِ. The one who came with the truth and for the truth. This is the one. Why we have a problem today? Because we're not honest. Really, we're not honest with Allah. And I will show you in the next couple of days, if we are really still alive, I will show you from Quran and Sunnah and Revelation why we are too far from truthfulness. Why? Okay? When the Revelation comes, I will tell you exactly why we have no truth. We have no truth. I will show you. And from all my life, from every 200, 300, maybe one will have a truth. Not two, not three. I will tell you why. We start at the key of the living of the heart. The key, how to make your heart alive. What makes the heart alive? And the reason why? تدبر القرآن. To comprehend Quran, not reading Quran. Comprehend Quran. والتدبر بالأسحار. And crying at night. Like one scholar, I met him from India, one of the unique scholars, but you will never know about them. This scholar, all you do is he's sitting crying. That's it. They do not deal with anybody. And when I ask him, how come you have all this knowledge and crying? He said, the Ummah is not ready to listen. Who I talk to? He said, the Ummah today in the middle of arguing. They do not want to hear the truth. By this way, us, the people who have the truth, we cry over us, we cry over the Ummah, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from his torture. I met plenty of them. They will not talk. They refuse to talk. They refuse to do da'wah. And day and night in a state of crying to Allah, and that's it. And they ask me Allah to save them. And believe it or not, the real scholar today, the majority of them do that. Why? Talking about what? To whom? Where is the people who are ready to follow? We want to listen and we go back like we never listened to anything. This is not the sign of a people who are listening. Only if you really listen and with your intention and honesty, you won't live it. This is the honest person. By this way, if you want really do something to yourself, cry at night. And I will give you advice, I always give it to people. You people who have money, I will give you advice for Allah. It will cost you only approximately $5,000, but it will change your life. Try to set a reservation for Umrah in Ramadan. And not in the end of Ramadan, in the beginning of Ramadan. Even in the last week of Sha'ban, beginning of Ramadan. Or the first 2 weeks of Ramadan. Why? Just to spend enough time in Medina and Mecca for Allah. Just sitting in the Masjid in Nabawi for 10 days, but don't go to Medina except minimum 10 days or 11 days. I will tell you why. Anybody know why I said this number? Whoever give me this name, I give him a nice gift. Why I said 10, 11 days? What is significant about 10, 11 days? What's that? You heard me before. The 40 prayers. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a hadith. Whoever have 40 prayer farad, not sunnah, not naf, farad, salah, in Masjid al-Nabawi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised the shafa'ah, insha'Allah. This one of the hadith of shafa'ah. By this way, if you're talking about it, it will come to 8 days. 5 times 8 is 40. But usually, going in and out, you might use 1 day. You might be so tired, so sick. This is why I'm coming to 10, 11 days. By this way, 10, 11 days, maybe you get 10. And make sure you set it up according also to your menses, in case you have your menses. What happens if you get your menses? I will tell you something to do. Go to the haram outside and just sit toward Qibla and cry to Allah. You're still in a very blessed place. You see? And there's an herb you can buy from the people who sell miswak. The woman take it and boil it and drink it with the intention and make turaqah with intention to stop the blood. It's according to Sunnah. And with the will of Allah, if you are really honest, Allah will stop it. The main conception here to spending time in a pure environment. To have some time alone. And if you go with your husband or your cousin or whatever or any muhram, tell him, please leave me alone between me and Allah. And when you do tawaf, when you do salah, when you do anything, be between you and Allah. Let them wait for you, set a place to meet, but be with Allah. By this way you can cry and do whatever you want between you and Allah. But we need it. We need the places where we really expose ourselves and reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have some money, Don't deny yourself. Set it up and go. But don't go as a kid and before you know, only worry about the kids and making phone calls. No. Divorce everybody and go only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتَرْكِ الذُّنُوبِ. So another key of getting closer to Allah, leaving your own sins. And here is something so beautiful. Leaving your own sin, what do you mean? All of us has bad habits. All of us have weakness and sins. The one beloved to Allah, the one you leave it, the one is attached to you. Very important. Leave your own sins. And this, believe it or not, is tough. It's not easy. Because today, who really captures us is ourselves. We are a slave of ourselves more than anybody else. And unless we are pure and from slavery to ourselves, we will never be slave to Allah. You have to be free first from everything to embrace Islam. You have to. Why today we cannot embrace Islam? Because we embrace everybody else and sometimes Islam. It doesn't work. ومفتاح حصول الرحمة الإحسان في عبادة الخالق. And the key to gain the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have ihsan fi ibadat al-khaliq, meaning to have tranquility, to have generosity in the way you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this today, it really scares me when I see our salah. Our salah is really dangerous, very dangerous. Really. Our salah is very dangerous. If you people, really each one of us, recorded our own salah, it would be a mess. Like one scholar, and one of the best books to really, you know, open your heart for that, don't keep making noise about the church. Even sit in the floor somewhere. Even sit in the side. Or we wait for a few minutes. It's not a big deal. Because the more we have manner when we have in halaqah, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us. Even you can perform a line here, in the side, whatever you like. Now, the ihsan of salah, whoever speaks Arabic in here, I tell them, get a book called Alwab al-Sayyid, min al-Kalim al-Tayyib, lil Imam ibn Qayyim al-Juzayya. He will teach you a lot about salah. And it actually exists by order. I do not know the name, I can get you the name. But exists by order. Okay? If you ask any other person, he will tell you. In English, maybe from England, but not in America. American bookstores, you only worry about money. And the books is coming from England, it's expensive, and nobody will buy. But anyway, Ihya al-Din can teach you a lot about the manner of salah. And one of the things he said, you won't know the relationship between you and Allah, see how much fast you are in salah. Because there's a meeting. It really ached me. It ached me and it almost made me paralyzed when I see the majority of you making salah. It scared me. And you think you're making salah. It's too fast. It's extremely too fast. And not only that, in sajda. This is, it blew my head off. Because in a sajda, I meet Allah. You're laughing. In sajda, this is the time I meet Allah most. I have a lot of problem. You know, even if each one of us making dua to the ummah, it will spend at least 5 minutes in sajda. We should make dua for each other. We should make dua for the ummah. We should make dua for all our family. What kind of Muslim we are if I'm going to sajda and you're laughing? This nuts. Do you know Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what he said? He said, the worst one among you, the one who steal from his own salah. The worst one among you, the one who steal from his own salah. He said, don't pray like the rooster. Nahi. You know what meaning nahi? Forbidden us to pray like the rooster. What is that? Tell me, what is that? And we worry about the number. Believe me, I do not pray too much. I'm telling you the truth. I do not pray too much. Because many, many years ago, almost 20 years ago, one scholar told him, I made the salah, I already do not make, or I make my salah and add whatever I lost. He told me, if you have a strong iman and you want to make salah the way it should be, do whatever left over. But if you are weak and you cannot make it because the amount of number, make your own salah and ask your Allah for istighfar and do the maximum deed. And he recites the verse of Quran, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ ذَلِكَ ذِكْرَ الذَّاكِرِينَ. The good deed will erase the bad deed. All you have to do is start doing a good deed. Do charity. Spreading Islam, spreading good deed. This will offset your own bad deed. But it's better than going in the time of salah, making 12, 14 rak'ah in less than 5 minutes. This is completely not acceptable. Because now you're cheating yourself. You're cheating yourself, you are a liar, a big liar. Why? Because is this a meeting with Allah? Imagine if I come and give you a recipe about food, you tell me, excuse me, Brother Ahmed, call me in the right time, by this way I have time for you. For a recipe, we can go for 15, 20 minutes. But for salah, we want to finish it so quick. And the best one among you, the fastest in salah. This is a calamity. This is a calamity. Please don't do that. And our young girls and boys, mashallah, they are trained on fire. You know, you ever see a train on fire? It's going to stop. Finish until he gets hit. Or a plane on fire. Look at our Taraweeh. Believe me, I cannot make Taraweeh anymore. In any masjid, I can. Before just I said Bismillah and make dua, Allahu Akbar. Before I make Taraweeh, Allahu Akbar. Before I make sujood, Allahu Akbar. I said to myself, is anyone of this imam or people supposed to be leading salah? They say Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. I doubt it. I doubt it. You know what they would say? Is this Subhana Rabbi al-Azim? The head almost sometimes do not even touch the ground. It touch and go, it touch and go. These people really should play karate. They're very good. You know, they're very good. They can do martial art, not salah. This is not salah. You think if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is this salah? Is this taraweeh? Do you know what it means, taraweeh? And why is he called it taraweeh later on? Because it comes from word raha. Do you know what it means, word raha? The one contained the heart. Is our taraweeh causing contentment of the heart? Is our taraweeh, it causing me to leave the masjid with something in my heart? When I went last year in Guyana, I said, I prefer taraweeh to be 2 rak'ah. We have a halaqah for 45 minutes. And after that, all of us go and make dua and we go to make taraweeh 2 rak'ah. And when our iman increase, the following year we make another 2 rak'ah. Because the taraweeh is a sunnah, is not fard. And praying to Allah with contentment and khushu' and khudu' is a fard. To pray to Allah with khushu' and khudu' is a fard, it's obligation. You will dare to go to a manager or a boss or somebody, you need something from them, and tell them, excuse me, I need a vacation, I need another, salam alaykum. Can you do that? Can you do that? Can you go to somebody you really have a lot of need? Can you go to a judge because you get a speeding ticket or a moving violation or a, you know, a parking ticket and you want, excuse me, I have you to dismiss it. And you run. Do you think they will dismiss it for you? You have even no respect. You're not even standing to a prayer. This is, do you know what it means? The heart is dead. Not sick, is dead. And this is why you see the same person after salah, he has no salah in his life. It's almost like he's a non-Muslim. He's only a Muslim sometime, part-time, in a time when he does a ritual of salah. But because the essence of Salah is not there, wonder what happened. The reality of Islam is not there. Because if I lost my meeting with Allah, do you think I would meet you in a nice manner? Think. If I have no, like my father, may Allah give him mercy in the grave, he used to tell me, Ahmed, I will give you advice. If you see somebody, do not make salah good, run away from him. I said, why? He said, if you have no fear of Allah, he will fear you. If you have no respect of Allah, he will respect you. If you have no love of Allah, he will love you. If he cannot be honest to himself, he will be honest to you. He's a liar! The person is a liar! Because he lied to himself. And how you can lie to yourself and be honest to me? How? You cannot. And this is what we do to each other today and the whole ummah. Each one of us is a liar in a different state. And after that, we want to fix the ummah. Fix what? We have to fix ourselves first. Believe me, today in the front of Allah, the ultimate jihad, the ultimate struggle in the path of Allah is to change your heart. To work in your heart and cleanse it from all sickness. Because we need hand. When this hand raised, Allah accepts. How many of us go to McDonald's all over and eating everything? And we do not worry about halal and haram. And after that, want our hand. Our talk is one thing, our action completely is opposite. What kind of man? Do you know what the hypocrite is? The hypocrite is a down, deep down of her fire. Is not the Jews, is not the Christian, you and me. Is this not scary? The Jews and the Christian in upper level of her fire. And the hypocrite in the lower fire. Who's the hypocrite? And we laughing about it? Is not a small topic. And we won't learn, we won't learn, we won't learn. But we won't be a puppet. And we're happy about what we're hearing and we go back like nothing happened. It's dead. It's not a show. I refuse to be a part of a show. Islam becoming entertainment tonight. Saturday Night Fever. From masjid to masjid, convention to convention, tarawih to tarawih. Hajj to Hajj. I meet people seven Hajj. And believe me, I'm scared to sit with them. In Mecca, they're smoking cigarettes, they're lying, they're cheating, they're sitting in front of the TV, and they're happy about seven Hajj. We become happy about the ritual and the number. Please. Go back and learn how to be honest to Allah. And even if you cannot, just be kind to Allah. And for you young people, please, enough lying to yourself. You cannot go anywhere if you keep lying to yourself. You will know who you are when you are in your room with nobody see you. How is your salah? Allahu Akbar. If we record our youth in the time of salah alone, I do not know what we should do. If we have a doubt of iman, we should be crying until we die. But don't blame them. Look at our elder, how they pray in the masjid. If our elder, the salah is no good, you want their salah to be good? If me as a mommy and daddy, my salah is no good, you want my children to salah to be good? Believe me, don't worry about the number. Wallahi, don't worry about the number. Don't worry about the amount of sunnah and nafl. Worry about the quality of every raqa. Only need one raqa accepted by Allah. And you're done. You're going to Jannah. One raqa. But which raqa is that? Do you remember the story of the companion? He was making salah. And all of a sudden, he smelled the fragrance of his own garden. He went right away to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, open your hand. Give me your hand. Rasulullah, he gave him his hand. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I bear witness, my garden is for Allah wa Rasul. He said, you leave something for your family? He said, no. He said, Ya Fulan, or so and so, why you won't give me all your garden? He said, Ya Rasulullah, My salah between, Ya Rasulullah, my salah between me and Allah is more beloved than my garden. And when I was making salah, I was thinking about my garden and I like it. And I hate it. I hate anything to stop me between me and Allah. Ya Rasulullah, take it, I will be free. And when I go to salah, I have no attachment at all. This people was honest. This people was honest. But today, we won't listen to the lecture, we won't become, mashallah, Muslim, but we want our habit and our attachment to be the same. Believe me, it will never work. If you think Brother Ahmed has a miracle formula, you are a liar and I'm a liar. No, Brother Ahmed cannot give you anything. It's your own struggle. Don't tell me, make dua for me. I can be worse than you. The only bit different between each other is how much we struggle. And we get de-attached from the dunya, de-attached of our own family, de-attached of the material. Unless you de-attach yourself, you're not going anywhere. You can have scholar after scholar, it will not do anything to you unless you de-attach yourself. SubhanAllah, the second key, this is a key I love in my life. وَالسَّعْيَ فِي نَفْعَ عَبِيدٍ. One is a key, make you closer to Allah and beloved to Allah, to be beneficial to the servant of Allah. To be beneficial, or being good and beneficial to others, to slave of Allah. And I will give you a couple of hadith about that. And for example, the brother who asked me about the hadith I won't say now in a book called At-Tabarani. I doubt it even if somebody has it around here. There's another book called At-Tabarani. And At-Tabarani, he has a book of hadith called Al-Jami' al-Kabir wal-Jami' al-Saghir. And another book called Al-Mustadrak. You know how many people have these books? Very few scholars. Very few scholars. What Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? الخلق عبيد الله أو الخلق عيال الله. The creation is the kids of Allah. وأحب الناس إلى الله and the most beloved people to Allah أنفعهم لعيال الله. And the most beloved people to Allah, the one beneficial to the kids of Allah. A man get up and he said, Ya Rasulullah, you tell us Allah, he never gave birth. He never have a wife. He never have kids. Who's the kids of Allah, Ya Rasulullah? Do you know what our Rasulullah replied? Who's the kids of Rasulullah? For who is the kids of Allah? Anybody know? The kids of Allah. Huh?
Doesn't happen.
What's that?
It doesn't happen.
No. According to the hadith, Allah had plenty of kids. Who's the kids of Allah? Listen to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he said. Every orphan, every needy, every widow, every yatim, every person has a need, every sick, is the kids of Allah. By this way, if you are running after benefit other, you are in the front of Allah, the most beloved person to Allah. You see, is that at all? Allah know how much I have in my pocket. And I now know how much I spend it for Him. Allah know how much I'm running after benefit other and why I benefit other. Let me tell you a story, inshaAllah, I feel is coming very soon. This story is 5 years old in my life, or 7 years old. I met a man, a young man from Malaysia. I love him very much for Allah. He was a very beautiful, he's the first student of mine in my life. And he left after a couple of years to Malaysia. And alhamdulillah, we still have a relation of brotherhood. You do not know this brother what he did to me. In the front of Allah, I will tell you. At this time, I had an accident and I lost my job and I used to have a big house in upstate New York. And he was living with me in a basement. Do you know what he did after graduation? He used to work and every week give me his paycheck in cash. And he told me, please, can you give me $10? For 6 months he swear by Allah, I have to accept his money. And for 6 months he support me and my family. And all he take $10. Maybe for sometime five, sometime 15 according to his need. Imagine he give me his paycheck in cash, in envelope. And even he will not touch the money until I give him the $10. What kind of person he is? And after he left, I was reading one day. And Musa alayhi salam was walking one day. And he talked to Allah. Listen to what Musa asking Allah and listen to the answer. Musa alayhi salam walking and said, Allah, who is the most closest people to you in Jannah? Listen to what the Prophet think about what? Who is the most closest people to you in Jannah? Listen to this now. He said, Abdan li, a servant of me, visited a brother for me. Visited a brother for me, only for me. Whatever is the distance between them, I will make him closer to me. How many of us visited each other for Allah? For Allah. And you know, after I read this hadith, I said, Allah, I love this brother. Allow me to go visit him. Just in the day of judgment, I tell you, Allah, I want you to measure the distance between here and Malaysia. And I want to be close to you, Allah, with this distance. Say ameen, inshallah. This is one of my dreams in my life, inshallah, is coming very soon. This only, I want to go visit him only with one intention. So I said to Allah in the Day of Judgment, Allah, I visited a Muslim brother for you, only to be beloved to you, Ya Allah. And if you do not believe me, there's many books about the chapter of visiting Muslim brother to Muslim brother. But cannot be because he has a satellite. Or he gave me a nice dish, or I'm going to marry his sister. No, it has to be purely to Allah, nothing else. And believe me, today to visit somebody for Allah is very, very, what I can tell you, is almost rare, impossible. We always have many intentions. But to visit somebody for Allah only, you are a winner. By this way, one of the keys to get closer to Allah, to be beneficial to others. Now let me give you another hadith, it's so beloved to my heart. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he said? He said, إِنَّ اللَّهِ إِنَّ لِلَّهِ عَبَادٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he have a special servant. اِخْتَارَهُمُ اللَّهِ لِقَضَاءَ حَوَائِجَ النَّاسِ. Allah showed them to take care about the need of other. حَبَّبَ الْخَيْرَ إِلَيْهِ. They make them love goodness. وَحَبَّبَ الْخَيْرَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَحَبَّبَ الْخَيْرَ فِيهِمْ. And make them love goodness, and they make goodness love it, beloved to them. هُمُ الْآمِنُونَ مِنْ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Those the safe one from the torture of Allah in the day of judgment. Do you see what we're talking about? It's all action. It's not a talk and listening. A servant of Allah. Allah chosen to fulfill the need of others. Those are the one. The goodness is beloved to them. And they love goodness. They the one will be saved. And be saved from the torture of Allah in the day of judgment. If we go to this topic by itself, you will be scared until you die. Just to see hellfire coming is a torture. Just to be waiting in the Day of Judgment is a torture. Because the Day of Judgment is 150,000 years of our time. One day equivalent 50,000 years of our time. And the sun will be above our head approximately this much. 1.5 finger tips. Right now the sun is 93 million years long distance. Or miles. Now, in the Day of Judgment, will be 1.5 finger tips. People will be dying in their own drowning. Now, is this not? Do you know which one you are in the list? Allah will judge you after 1 day, 2 day, 3 day. Allah knows. Is waiting is easy? What about, do you know if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow you to drink from the Kawthar? The one said, you will never be thirsty after that. And why He will allow you? Do we really have sunnah in our life? If you look at what I'm doing and what I'm saying is all action. But we love to hear and talk and argue and go and like nothing happened. No! Do you know if you own us, I will teach you something for Allah. Every time you hear hadith like that, take it. You don't have to worry about how many hadith. You don't have to worry about where is the hadith. Worry about living the hadith. Because we don't love to argue with a hadith, but we don't love to live a hadith. When I was your age, I used to sit down and cry to Allah, oh Allah, allow me to be among these people. Make me among these people, Ya Allah. We know mankind is going astray. We know the situation is so desperate. And what we doing? Last time I talked about cooking. Imagine if really I'm a Muslim, I should worry about which recipe will take the shortest time in the kitchen. The shortest time recipe is the most blessing recipe. Why? I have to save my time. I have to make a recipe will not allow me to go to the bathroom too much. I'm going to lose my time. This meaning I have conscience now. But if I'm spending 2-3 hours looking in the market, 2-3 hours in the kitchen, 2 hours in the bathroom, 8 hours is gone. For what? For a 5 minute meal? This nuts. This really nuts. Because it's still me. What kind of heart am I? And our kids, oh my son, what do you like? Oh mommy, I do not like this. Oh mommy, can you make this for me? Oh mommy, I like this. Oh mommy, I cannot eat this. Oh mommy. And all of a sudden, mommy have like an open buffet for everyone in the family. In the front of Allah, mommy is criminal. Mommy is spoiling the kids. And making a big boy, babies. And when they marry, they will do the same garbage to their own wife. And the cycle continues. And this was the young lady where she is last week. So she wants to get married. She worried about the first question, I do not know how to cook. Don't worry about cooking. If you lose weight and your husband lose weight, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. But getting iman, this was important. Getting closeness to Allah. Be busy with what Allah loves, you be beloved. Open the door of goodness between you and Allah by spending money, spending time, spending effort, spending dua for Allah and the Ummah. And those who are going to go to Mecca and Medina for Umrah or Hajj, don't ever forget me. Don't ever go unless you have a budget for poor people. Don't go 5-star hotel and you give charity $25. Don't do that, you're in big trouble. Take 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, and don't give it to a beggar. No. Believe me, a lot of people coming to do Umrah and Hajj, and they have even no place to stay. They cannot eat. I never forget that. I wanted a place to change the money. And you find people coming from America having $100 bills. $100 equals 375 riyal. Okay? Approximately. Now, you find a man coming from India or Pakistan or Bangladesh, whatever, and he has a big, big piece of cloth, and he keep open, and have 10,000 rupees. What 10,000 rupees do to him? What 100,000 rupees do to him? And the guy give him 2-3 riyal. What is 2-3 riyal will do to him? It will give him one juice and maybe a piece of bread. That's it. In a time of Hajj, approximately 1 million Muslims in the street of Mecca and Medina. Without no exaggeration. 1 million. They have no place to stay. They have no means. In Ramadan, I see people in a time of iftar, they're running
collecting the leftover of the dasturkhan in the masajid, just collecting leftover of dates and bread, and he sell it later on. The leftover has been sold. And one day I asked, why you do that? He said, I take it and we sell it to the people outside like that. Who's the people outside? These are people like you and me, going to make Umrah and Hajj, but they have no money. They hardly make it to go. Imagine if every day before you break your fast, you go to some of these people and give them $10, $20, $100 for family. And the family go cry to Allah and eat for 7 days. Do you think Allah will love you or Allah will hate you? But if you go to five-star hotel, and you go passing these people every day and you do not give them, and you do not share with them, what kind of salah you can do in Masjid al-Nabawi? Tell me, what kind of salah you can do in Masjid al-Nabawi? Imagine, you go in Masjid al-Nabawi, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he see what we're doing, he hear what we're doing. Do you know that? Al-A'mal ma'rooda. The deed of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah, he see it daily. Like a TV, he gets a satellite from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He sees the condition of the Ummah. He sees what we're doing. And after that, we go to the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we all make dua. I tell you, it's better to give to charity, make Muslim happy, and after that go. Your salah, I promise you, your salah will be different. It's not a talk again. Allah knows how much you have in your pocket, and how much you give. Don't play games with Allah. You're not going anywhere. By this way, please, those who are planning to do Umrah or Hajj, make sure, be just. If you're going and you're going to spend $4,000 or $5,000 ticket and the baggage and everything, take at least $1,000 or $2,000 charity for Allah. And you divide it among the poor people there. Not the beggar, the poor people, and you find plenty. Don't worry about it. If you have even $1,000,000, you can spend it without no money, with no time. And when you see, you will know what I'm talking about. ومفتاح الرزق السعي مع الاستغفار والتقوى. The key of provision. The key of provision. Do you know what is it? السعي. To walk. والاستغفار. And make استغفار. والتقوى. And fear Allah. You want Allah to open the door of provision? But today we have another calamity. Once we talk about provision, we think money. Once we talk provision, we think status, we think car, we think houses, we think account balance, we think gold, we think kitchen, we think belly. No. One scholar who said something so beautiful, so beautiful. Listen to me, please. Provision is two provision. The provision of Allah is two style. One provision is Allah giving to Muslim, non-Muslim, animal, creature, everybody. Do you know what is it? This is what we run after. They call it the sufli provision, the lower provision. The lower provision which Allah promised He gave it to all. Muslim, non-Muslim, sinner, obedience, animal, everybody eat, everybody have sex, everybody go to sleep, everybody have shelter. This everybody have it. And this is why sometimes we say, how come the non-Muslim have? The non-Muslim have why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُعْطِي الدُّنْيَا لِمَنْ يُحِبْ وَلِمَنْ لَا يُحِبْ وَلَكِنْ لَا يُعْطِي دِينَهُ إِلَّا لِمَنْ أَحَبْ. Allah, He loves this dunya, to whom He loves and whom He hates. But He will not give deen, He will not give Islam, except to whom He beloved to Him. But actually, if you see somebody has more beauty, more status, more money, doesn't mean nothing. Meaning it's the diraj, meaning Allah trial the person. Because the most beloved man on earth, he has no money. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By this way, the ultimate provision is going up. But we, running after provision, going down. We are champions of provision equal to the animal. which is the only provision is written, meaning nobody can change it. Who will eat what? Who will gain what? Who will marry whom? Who will divorce whom? Who will get kids? Who will not get good tickets? Whatever, what you need and what you have is written. But you have another ulwi provision, elevated provision. What is provision? The knowledge to seek Allah, to do good deed, to get closer to Allah, to remember Allah, to spend for Allah, to fear Allah, to make istighfar, to love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to worry about Muslim, to worry about non-Muslim, to worry about Islam, to be invited to Allah. All this together, this call a provision ghulwi, the highest provision. And this, you will never receive it unless you beloved to Allah. You have to be beloved to Allah. What it means? You have to struggle for it. You know? When somebody come and tell you, I love you, what do you want to do? You show me. Otherwise, you are a fool. I have to prove to you I love you. If I do not prove to you I love you, anybody can lie. I love you, is a big deal. And this is what we do. I love you, Rasulullah. I love you, Allah. But our life completely against Allah and Rasulullah. Is this love? No. It's a fake love. It's not a true love. Every word has a truth. What is the truth of the word? Two, get closer to those you love. You see, the more you get closer to those you love is a sign of love. If you love somebody, you won't be with them. You won't see them. You won't talk to them. You won't be a company of them. This was the early people who love Allah. What they do? They sit down. They do drink. They get away from people. They only do good deed and run. Because you have no time. If you love Allah, do you think you would make, you're spending all this time in a computer, in internet, you're spending all time in a phone, you're complaining to everybody, you're spending all this time in the kitchen, and you're making salah like chicken without head? Is this loving Allah? Astaghfirullah al-Azim. And after that, we want to know, what's the ummah? Where is the ummah? Istighfar. Istighfar, to ask Allah to forgive you, is a secret. Is a secret make you closer to Allah. But not, and making istighfar like 1 million times and your heart is not there. Again, it's not how much you do. Sit down and cry to Allah. And ask Allah, Allah forgive me. Make me honest, Ya Allah. Make me sincere, Ya Allah. I'm a liar, Ya Allah. I'm a weak, Ya Allah. You know my disease. Help me out, Ya Allah. Allah will help you. But don't play game. ومفتاح العز, the key of dignity. And this another calamity, the whole ummah is falling into it. We seek the dignity from everybody except Allah. And Allah promise. The key of dignity, the obedience of Allah and the obedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I promise you, the more you get closer to Allah, the more Allah unites the heart with you and the more you give you dignity. This is a real dignity. You do not have to have money, no status. Who give you the money and the status? Allah. And this is what the whole ummah is failing at now. We're running after everybody, but we're not running after Allah. And we forget, we will come very soon, I do not know if it's today or tomorrow, about how we know where we are and what Allah wants from us according to revelation. Not according to Brother Ahmed, no, according to revelation. And I will show you step by step. But we want dignity, what Allah said, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدِ الْعِزَّةِ Whoever need dignity, this Allah. فَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ جَمِيعًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner of all dignity. Imagine if this Allah said, and after that I will seek from somebody else. Is really, I'm a Muslim? Is my car give me dignity? Is my Mercedes Benz give me dignity? Is my Lexus give me dignity? Is my gold give me dignity? Is my bank account give me dignity? No. No, wallahi no. I swear by Allah, no. Dignity is something, if Allah won't give it to you, He give it to you, even if you have no money in your pocket. Look at this. A man sitting in Haram in the early days, Tabi'in. A man sitting in Haram, in Mecca. And he said, Sheikh so-and-so arrived. Sheikh so-and-so, he coming from Far East. They ask him, how do you know? He said, I saw his light. A sheikh sitting in Haram in Mecca, he saw the light of a sheikh coming from outside Mecca. A light of his car? No. Certain people, Allah give them light. And certain people can see the light of other only. This different satellite communication, only Allah give it to whom you want. But what are we running after? We're running a flashlight? No. The mu'min running after Allah light. Allah dignity. ومفتاح الاستعداد للآخرة قصر الأمل. And the key of preparing yourself for the hereafter, having no hope. قصر الأمل. To have your hope short. What is our problem today? After 5 years, I'm going to do this. After 10 years, we're going to go to this country. After 2 years, I'm going to build this house. After 5 years, I'm going to do this. We hoping for everything except Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one time he was sitting with a companion and he asked, how much you have hope? One day, person said 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, 1 week, 2 week, 1 month. Do you know what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? He said, you people have a long hope. Imagine if he hear us 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, what he would say? They said, Ya Rasulullah, what about you? He said, when I sit down to tashahud in the end of salah and I make my taslima in my right, I do not believe I'm going to make the second taslima. Every time you have short your hope, you always will do for Allah. And every time you have a long hope, you lose. And shaitan will make you miserable about your hope. And you're a man, you dream, and you're living in a dreamland, and you forget a Muslim is a reality man, not a dreamer. Do you remember the famous hadith? When Rasulullah met a lion, a long distance, a lion short, and a lion in between. And when they ask, what is that, Ya Rasulullah? He said, the long lion, the far away lion, is your hope, your dream, what you're aiming for. And the short lion is where you are. He said, what about the line in the middle? It's cutting the two lines. He said, this is your destiny. This is your ajal, the angel of death. He said, no, listen to this now. No son of Adam will leave his life and he fulfilled what he wants. No. Do we believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Do we love Rasulullah? Do we believe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He only took revelation. He only took inspiration of Allah. What he said? He said, no son of Adam, no one will leave this dunya and fulfill his hope. Nobody. If I hear Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, and I be busy with my hope, I'm a liar. I do not believe in Rasulullah. Because if I believe in Rasulullah, he tell me. How many of us bury people? And these people never know what time they're going to die. Do we get the message? No. We bury our dead and we do not get the message. Young and old. ومفتاح كل خير. The key of all goodness. الرغبة في الله والدار الآخرة. The key of all goodness to get closer to Allah and the love of the hereafter. And this is the quality of the people of the companion. What's the difference between us and them? We become the people of dunya. They are the people of akhirah. They are working for akhirah. We're working for dunya. We go in a different direction completely. وَمُفْتَاحْ كُلَّ شَرْءٍ. And the key of all bad things in life, حُبَّ الدُّنْيَا. The key of all bad things, loving dunya. And this, you apply to everything. Today we said we do not love dunya, but we now becoming exactly, I will not mention, like the people of Bani Israel. It's no different. They accommodate, we accommodate. They stingy, we stingy. They want this dunya, we want this dunya. No, the Muslim want akhirah. Finished. وطول الأمل, a long hope. And the author, he said in the end, he said about what I said so far, he said this a keys of all the witness. Whoever Allah loved him, he make him aware about it and put it in the front of his eyes and work toward it. Do you hear what I said now? Whoever Allah loved him, he allowed him to hear it and after that digest it and after that went to work, make him work for it. It's not a speech. It's not a speech, it's not a homework. The ultimate homework, the homework with the heart. The ultimate homework, if you're honest, to go at night and say, Allah, where am I? Oh Allah, where am I? May Allah forgive us, all of us is too far. And what we do, we need the first stage of dua. Just dua and get closer to Allah and say, Allah, cleanse me, purify me. And see what you love. See what you love is bended for Allah and you will see. You have a car for $50,000. Sell it and buy a car for $10,000-$15,000. Take the rest of the money, it's bended for Allah. You will see what will happen to your heart. You see, why I need a car for $90,000, $70,000? Why? What it will do to me? A car for $15,000-$20,000 will do the same job. And then it's $20,000-$30,000, I'll make good deed. You need jewelry? Get one piece, two piece. And the box at home, sell it. And I'm showing you, wallah, you will lose money anyway. Always with anybody, save gold, always lose gold. Because always the price change. But sell it, just to be free. You need only one piece. You do not need, you know, like 10 inch, you know, bracelets all over. No, you do not need that. You need one earring, two earrings, three earrings, that's it. Couple of pieces, finished. But you do not need a box. What's it, $100,000, $50,000, $20,000? What do you need it for? If you die, this box is the first thing will burn you in the hellfire and burn you in your golden grave. What do you need it for? Really? And for you young people, believe me, you have plenty of toys. Sell it. Give it to the poor people. It will straight your manner and make you a man, and that's it. And you will not be a slave to toys anymore. And said, Allah, make me a man. Enough is enough. I feel sad when I go to a Muslim family, have a toy room. A toy room? A toy room. And when you look in the room, decoration and the toys, at approximately $5,000-$10,000. Toys? $5,000-$10,000. You know what it means? I can send money to Bangladesh, Sudan, Somalia, Eritrea, Bosnia, for families to eat for years with the same money my kids playing toys with. And you want your kids to be good. It will never be. It will never be. We are a dreamer. We are a liar. Take the toys, sell it, give it to charity, take the same amount as Allah will forgive you and spend it for Allah in the behalf of your child. Now you will see what Allah will do to your child. Deal with Allah. And even you, said, Mommy, enough is enough. Let me get rid of this toy. I want to grow. I have books to read. I want to be a man. I hardly see a young boy now or young girl without talking about Bishwan and Sakra and this and that. Unbelievable. They don't know the companion of Rasulullah. They do not know Rasulullah. They know who went, who knows, who what, and why, and what time the gold came. And after that you go to Salah? What kind of Salah? Who you lying to? Now, inshallah, we're going to go to the keys of all the evils. This was the keys of goodness. Now the keys of all the evils. And again, I'm doing that with the intention to try to purify our heart and prepare for the next couple of days to when we go to Quran, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our heart and see and comprehend and have vision, inshaAllah. Now, the keys of all bad deed, do you know what is it? Shirk. Partner with Allah. Association with Allah. And I bear witness today, the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are deep in association with Allah. Don't forget me. I will tell you in the front of Allah, we are today, we as a Muslim, all of us, the majority, in deep shirk. How? We love our children more than Allah. We care about children more than Allah. We care about our houses and our husband and wife more than Allah. We worship our own family. It's a worship. It's a state of worship. Because if you worship Allah, you will never be busy with them. You will be busy for Allah. What about them? Give them halal food, halal shelter, give them advice, a way of knowledge, finished. Your job is done. But to be babysitter with them every day, your mind and your heart are completely devoted to them, this is a shirk. Making you make your own son and daughter is an idol. You worship them. And this is a reality. Because if you do not worship them, they will not be like that. And I promise you, you worship your kids, Allah will punish you and your own kids. If you do not believe me, go to Surah At-Tawbah verse 24. Take your time and read it carefully. What about the shirk of the ni'mah and the kufr of the ni'mah? How many of us, when you look at the dish of our children, we give them food for 2 men and they eat a little bit and they throw the rest? What is that? Is this abuse? Yes, but it's more than that. It's no thanks to Allah. It's no respect to Allah. Ni'mah. It's a style of shirk and a style of kufr. Called kufr al-ni'mah, the disbelief of the ni'mah of Allah. And after that, our kids, mommy, I don't, mommy, I can, mommy, I don't, mommy, I can. And we, our kids, becoming, they're so spoiled, they do not even eat the majority of food. Who generates that? The mommy. The one she loves and spoils and destroys her own kids. The mom is born in the daytime, the dad is born in the nighttime with toys. And we think we're doing wonder to our own kids. I bear witness to Allah. Nobody criminal in earth today more than the Muslim mother and a Muslim father. Nobody. Not the Jews, not the Christian, not the atheist. Why? Because there's a huge difference between you supposed to be believing Allah and know better and not doing. Even if you look to the non-Muslim family, their kids is much better than our kids. Look in the church. You go to any church in the time of their sermon, they're very quiet, calm, clean. You go to the bathroom, mashallah. Now, let's make salah. Our kids like shayateen. The masjid become like shayateen in the house. Shayateen, not kids. Do you know who will elevate our salah? When you said Allahu Akbar, who's listening to you? Supposed to be Allah. Wonder what happened if my heart is not connecting to Allah and connected to my car and my kids. I'm praying to Allah. What about when I'm making salah? Who will take my good deed toward Allah? Angels. The angel writing good deed and bad deed. Now, do you know the adab of masajid, the manner of masajid? Believe me, I spending many years, I cannot go to masajid. I can. Because I feel the masjid is empty, is no light. Is no salah. Why? Because if you study the manner of a masjid, you will be crying. If somebody is dirty, if somebody has najasa, is the angel will be around? Tell me. The angel is gone. If somebody even do not cut his nails, is a hadith about it. The angel is gone. If a person go to the bathroom and keep himself dirty and come into salah, like some of our young people, the angel is gone. Do you know angel, Jibreel alayhi salam is a big nice story. When Jibreel alayhi salam one time He did not show to Rasulullah for many days. And Rasulullah, when he came, he said, "Ya Jibreel, why you did not visit me?" It was a dog. It was a dog underneath Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he doesn't know. But after that, he teach him. Jibreel teach Rasulullah. He said, "We as an angel, we get offensive from what you're getting offensive of. If a place is dirty, we will not be there. If a place has a dog, we will not be there. If a place has a statue or a picture, we will not be there. If a place has an ague and loud voice, we leave. Because we as an angel do not confine shayateen." Do you know if you're running like chicken without hitting a kid in a masjid and the kid's running, do you think angel will be there? Angel is gone. Angel is gone because angel need a place of tranquility and peace. Once our kid's running and shouting and screaming, angel is gone. Now we go to salah. Our salah is empty. Why salah is empty? Because angel is gone. And we need the presence of angels. Imagine, is this what we do to our kids? I dare to see a father or mother coming and said, "Come on my son, sit down next to me." No. I have a Christian woman. She refused to embrace Islam. Do you know why? She said, "When I go to the church, it's so calm and peaceful. When I come to your places, it's like nightmare. What's going on? I cannot even listen to the wrong speech." And our woman, mashallah, the person talking, the person not talking, and we talk loud about all the nonsense. And our kids, mashallah, they converted the masjid to a playground. And it become a habit. If I have young kids and they cannot run in the house, bring them to the masjid. And in Ramadan, mess all over. And left over all food. What does faith teach me? Where's the mother? Where's the father? Where's the responsible people? Where's our Islam? If I cannot respect Allah in the house of Allah, do you think I respect Allah outside the house of Allah? Tell me. Wallahi, my brother and sister in Islam, wallahi. I've been a couple of years reading one book about death. In the end of the book, one of the things he said, one of the things can make you touch in a grave and the light of you getting away from you. Allah will take your light of your grave. Do you know what is it? Smiling in the masjid. The scholar said, smiling in the masjid, meaning laughing. Laughing for no reason, or talking about dunya talk. It will take your light from your grave and touch you in the grave. And if you do not believe me, I have a lot of evidence about this topic. Do you know why? This is not a place of giggling. It's not a place to talk about cooking and shouting and screaming. This is supposed to be a place of worship. This does not belong to me and you. It's not belong to the community. This is called the house of Allah. The moment you call it a masjid, is not belong to nobody except Allah. Even if the masjid is empty completely, it has a hurma. Do you know why? Because angel is doing dhikr. Jinn is doing dhikr. You can have jinn praying. You can have jinn midukun halaqa. You can have jinn start sitting and doing halaqa. You have no right to disturb them. You cannot even, you have no right to recite Quran loud in masjid. Unless you are in halaqa. Or in salah. But if you are alone, if you study the manner of reciting Quran in the masjid, they said your voice should not exceed your shoulder. Your voice should not exceed your shoulder. Do you know why? By this way, I do not oppress anybody, human being or angel or jinn. Because my territory is my shoulder. After my shoulder is not belong to me, it can be another person. Jinn or an angel. How many of us sitting and have no manner? No manner in the way we are reciting Quran, no manner in the way we recite. Or if somebody of us feel his voice is so much nice, all of a sudden he's talking and he reciting Quran and nobody can recite, nobody can make the salah, nobody can do that because he's mashallah reciting Quran. It's almost like the masjid is belong to him. Do you know in the front of Allah what he is? He is a zalim. The one who recites Quran in the masjid loud, and he do not respect other, he's a zalim. He's an oppressor. And if I lost my salah, I would call him in a day of judgment and say, Allah, he oppressed me in my salah. Look at how far we are. Why? Because the conscience of Allah is not there. If the moment I arrived and said Bismillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah, Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma iftah li abwaab rahmatak. Oh Allah, open for me the door of mercy. If I want the mercy of Allah, what am I going to talk about? What am I going to talk about? What am I going to engage with in my heart and my tongue? And my kids, believe me, according to the Sunnah, if your kids behave and clean, bring him, or he or she. If the kid do not behave and clean, don't bring them, or put them next to you. Because it's not a playground. It's not a tennis court. I feel shy. I feel shy and I feel scared from every parent and every responsible sees a nonsense and be quiet. Because in the front of Allah, each one of you is responsible. We, Muslim, adult and youth, we have no right to raise our voice in masajid. Is a sign of the Day of Judgment. A sign of the Day of Judgment to the voices of masajid will be raised and not for Allah. If you do not believe me, read about the chapter of the last days. In Imam Bukhari or any book. By this way, we have to get away from shirk, partner with Allah, association with Allah. And believe it or not, I can go through this topic for a long time, because shirk is too many shirk. You have shirk al-ubudiyya, the shirk of worship. You have shirk al-rububiyya, the shirk of partner with Allah in the ownership. And this 99% of a Muslim have it today. 99% of a Muslim having shirk al-rububiyya. Why? Shirk-ul-Rububiyya meaning Allah is the owner, Allah is the provider, Allah is the ruler, Allah is the commander, Allah is the owner. And wonder what happened. The way we deal with each other, wonder what happened. Do we believe in Allah or believe in our money? Do we rely on Allah or rely on our money? Look at the one old lady, one old woman, not old, but in the old days. Her husband was going the path of Allah. And people asked her, also and so, the provider is going? She said, I do not know my husband is a provider. My husband is an eater. The eater left, the provider stayed. Do you see what she said? The eater left, which is the husband, the provider stayed, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She knew who is a provider. Today, I think my husband is a provider. My wife is a provider. My kids is a provider. Everybody is a provider. And forget, the provider is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You understand? Allah is the provider. Allah is a ruler. I do not follow anybody unless he commands me of something according to Allah wa Rasul. No obedience to anybody in a disobedience of Allah. Well, kibr. Kibr coming together, by the way. Kibr is arrogant. And we spoke about it. Kibr is something, I will give you only one hadith is enough for all of us. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا يدخل الجنة, nobody will enter Jannah, has a dot of kibr, has a dot of arrogance. Is this not enough for all of us? Please, check the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you behave, the way you look, and ask yourself, why am I arrogant about it? You see, if I have, it's from Allah. If I do not have, alhamdulillah. And all of us is a trial for each other. A Muslim should not be arrogant at all. The sign of a Muslim is humble. I love Yusuf Islam. Do you know why? Look at his walk. Look at the way Yusuf Islam walk. You know, sometimes if you really look carefully, even one shoulder is lower than another. Why? Look at the way he walked. He walked with a lot of humble and humility. Why? He's a Muslim. The more you're getting closer to Allah, the more humble and humility you are. And the more you are far away from Allah, the more arrogant you will be. Don't ever forget me. And today, what hurt me, when we get arrogant for nothing. We do not have it. Is a person is really alert? Is a person responsible? No. And this is what's happening to our kids. Because we give them everything. Vice versa, they have no responsibility. They're only a consumer. Do you know what a Muslim? A Muslim is not a consumer. A Muslim is not a consumer. A Muslim is a merchant. A merchant of guidance to mankind. But we're becoming even not like a cow, because a cow is better than us. Because a cow, it gives us skin, it gives us milk daily, it gives us leftover. The leftover cow is even expensive. Our leftover is garbage. And kib, arrogant coming with another thing. Al-a'rad amma ja'a bihi Allah. Meaning deny what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to do and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I give you a couple of examples and keep going. How many of us in the time of marriage, we marry according to Rasulullah? How many of us even in the time of divorce, we divorce according to Allah wa Rasulullah? How many of us dealing with each other with justice and mercy? It's a sign. A sign of what? Arrogant. Today the majority of our women and men, they go to judge, they go to court. And they refuse to tell you, I refuse Sharia, I refuse constitution of Allah. Don't tell me Allah said, I take you to court. I need American system. Is it reality or no? Anybody tell me no? I tell you the statistics about any local people. How many of us, Muslim men and women, taking each other to court? Because we fail to obey Allah wa Rasul. How? Tell me, where is Islam? This is a sign of arrogance. Arrogance! Do you know what scare me is? Wallahi, it scare me. I say it to people and people misunderstand me. If you commit adultery every day, is much easier than doing that. Because if you commit adultery, is a major sin. But if you deny the constitution of Allah, you are a murtad. You are out of Islam. If you said to a man or a woman, I do not want Sharia, I do not want the book of Allah, you are out of Islam. Qul jahil. You deny Allah's book. Even by one verse or one hadith. Tell me where we are. Tell me where we are. Is this not scary? If you have a doubt of Iman, is this not scary? Arrogant, I promise you, what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a doubt of arrogant will not allow you to go to Jannah. Is this not enough to work at least in my arrogant? And think about it, what I'm arrogant about it? Because I own nothing. Allah is the owner. And this shirk, by the way, why arrogant and shirk is he come together? Because if I'm arrogant, I have shirk. And if I have shirk, I have arrogant. They come together. I look at us the way we walk. We walk with a lot of arrogant. Why? Why are you walking with arrogant? What do you have make you arrogant? Why? What? What do you have? Because some money, a house, a car, some money in the bank, some jewelry, this nothing to do with arrogant. The early people, they said, how I think about anything when I do not know if I'm going to paradise or going to hellfire? How? How I be calm when I do not know if Allah will give me my book with the right hand or left hand? How? And arrogant, this meaning the heart is dead. I'm not thinking about Allah. I'm not worrying about the hereafter. And you find out all this coming as a package. You have one, you have them all. And if you have humble and humility, you have generosity and you have them all. And one of the key of bad deeds and evils is being in a state of not doing dhikr. meaning in a state of ghafla. Ghafla meaning the majority of us in a state of ghafla. Because if you stay of awareness and awakeness, you remember Allah. You thank Allah, you praise Allah. This is why I said, if you really belong to Allah, do you think you remember your kids too much? You will be attached to your kids, you will be attached to your husband or wife, you are attached to your partner. No! Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the love of Allah above everybody. This toys. What we have is toys. We acting like a bad kid. You give him a toy. Instead of telling you thank you and show gratitude, he takes the toys and keep playing with it and he forgets you. This is a bad kid. Because if I'm a good kid, I come to you and tell you thank you for what you offer me. May Allah reward you for what you offer me. And once in a while, I can thank you for the toy you give me. But if I be busy with the toy and forget the owner of the toy, the one who give me the toy is a sign of dead. Arrogant. What is our life? It's a toy. Allah called it a toy. And we're supposed to be thanking Allah even for the toy because we do not own it. You're not going to your grave with your car, or with your husband, with your kid. No, 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 no. You're going alone with a piece of cloth. That's it. No bank account, no jewelry box, no nothing will benefit you. Except your relationship with Allah and the amount of doing dhikr. This is why all the ayat in Quran, it tells you do dhikr in abundance. The only worship has no limit. The only worship has no limit. No place, no limit. Except the bathroom, that's it. But any place, anywhere, you have to do dhikr. And the key of the evil also is alcohol. And the key of adultery is money. And the key of looking to each other, male and female, is the key of seeking bad deed. And the key of laziness is the key of destruction. Today we find our youth sleeping 80% of the day, playing another 20%, and that's it, the day is gone. And the key of bad doing good deed is the key of disbelieving Allah. Because by the way, in a moment of doing bad deed, you are a disbeliever. Unless you do stop it and do tawbah and you go back. And the key of lying is the key of hypocrite. And it's another problem in us. Tell me how many of us, when we give commitment to each other, we keep it? Tell me how many of us, when we say a word about the time, we keep our word? Tell me. It becomes a sign of us. If you talk to a non-Muslim, what do they tell you? They tell you, Muslim? Ya Allah. They always say, man, inshallah, and they never show up. They say, inshallah, and they show up 2 hours later. And they always have a bunch of excuses. Is this Islam, my brother and sister in Islam? Is this Islam? Do you know what a Muslim is? A Muslim is a word. If I tell you 10, it's 10. If I tell you 15, it's 15. Whatever I tell you, it has to be done. This is a sign of a Muslim. Don't make excuses. Excuses is a sign of a liar. Because if you're honest, you will make it early. You always will come early to make sure you keep your word. It's a habit. But if your heart is dead and you do not care, you always come late. And you always have excuse. Because what? You're dead, you have no responsibility. You're not a man, you're not a woman. You're not a Muslim. Because a Muslim is not a hypocrite, he's not a liar. Because it's the key of hypocrite. The scholar said the lie is the key of hypocrite. In all my life, maybe I met 2 people keep their word. I'm not a Muslim. In all my life, I maybe keep, kept, see, two Muslims keep their word, and the rest I cannot trust. Really, whatever you said, I can, is not worth it to me. Why? I will be a liar if I listen to you. Because I know, if I'm dealing with Muslims, they talk. The following day, I will not see nothing. This become our habit. How many people come to me, we will do, bye bye. It become my habit. People ask me, why you do that? I tell them, I know. I said, anybody come to me and talk, be patient. One day, today, and you will see what happens. They come and they go and nothing happens. We love to talk, and before we know, because we're not honest. We're not sincere in what we say. If you're honest, you will never say a word unless you follow it up. This is Islam. We will do. We love to do that. I used to live in upstate, and a man used to come, a doctor. And every time he come in the fundraising or whatever for a masjid, he complaining, I'm going to do. Wallahi, 12 years he never did. 12 years he never pay a cent. And every meeting, I'm going to give 12,000, I'm going to give 20,000, give me the check, I take care of the 50,000, and he never give a penny. Never! 12 years! 12 years, his manner is the same. I used to sit and just watch. And just watch, because what I can say? What I can say? If he do not know what he's doing for 12 years, the same habit, identical? Ya Allah! I see plenty of that! Plenty! We will do! These people who bubble up, bye-bye. I know a man, another man in New Jersey, I tell you about him. This man, he doesn't talk. And when he hears some deed, it needs to be done, silently he go check, how much is different, he go, do it, finished. I bear witness this man without his mention his name, and he's Pakistani too, but a unique Pakistani. Really, a unique Muslim. He never talked to me without fulfillment. Never. I bear witness this man. He never even tell me I will call you, he will never call me. Do you know how many people call me and make play a game? They call me and they hang up quick. And the wife called me after that and tell me, you know, my husband tried to call you. I said, what do you mean? She said, he tried to call you many times. I said, listen, I look in the caller ID. He called a couple of times only, and after two rings, he hung up quick. I know the people that I'm dealing with. And after that, he go to his wife and said, I tried to call Sheikh Ahmed, but I cannot find him. Because certain people, when they want me, they can ring me day and night. And they will find me. And when people won't play a game, they will find any excuse. This our Islam. Tell me, if we are the kind of people like that, tell me what kind of people they are. Who are we dealing with? A shuh wal hirs, to be stingy. Stingy and won't accumulate. It is the key of cutting your own family ties. How many of us today cutting the family ties because of money? Tell me, the whole thing is money. The wife hates the husband family, the husband hates the wife family. Why? Because the issue is money. That's it. The whole issue is money. You talk about all our problems in our houses is money. Where is Allah and Rasulullah? It's not there. It's only money. If you take the money from us, we'll be fine. Do you remember Saudi Arabia before the oil? There was very poor people, humble people. If you go to Saudi Arabia 100 years ago, once you arrive to Mecca, you can marry, you can stay, you can live, no problem. If you go to Mecca until today, you find Chinese people, Arabic people. How, what happened? It used to be Chinese Muslim go, they said, they marry, and that's it. I met many Chinese people in Saudi Arabia, they are Saudi, but completely the complex, and the body is completely Chinese. And when I asked, he said, my mom was Chinese, my father was Chinese. But this when they have no money. Now, once you have no money, you're living there even for 100 years, you have no citizenship. You have no rights. What's the difference, money? Try to manage 30 years today, even with bad manner, you can. They ask you for how many camel, how much money, how many building. It becomes a merchandise. Where is Islam, my brother and sister? Tell me, where is Islam? All that for what? Money. Believe me, I hate money. Inshallah, I hate money. Me and my money is enemy. Because I look from all when I was young until now, all the corruption happened by money. All the envy and jealousy and stingy and all the bad deeds by money. And all the goodness, if you hate money, you're fine. You have no problem. You're free. You're not attached to anything. And also taking the money from the source is not belong to you. Is a key of all the bad evils. Look at us today. Forgive me of what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it loud and clear. You hate me or not. Who is the owner of major sins in the earth? Tell me. Muslim! In America, Australia, and Europe, who is the major sin one? Muslim! I travel 80% of the United States. Do you know who is the owner of all the alcohol shops? Alcohol and grocery shop and haram and law. Who? Arabic people from two countries. I'm not going to mention their names. If you want, I will tell you. The majority of groceries in the United States and Canada dealing with alcohol and riba and lato and khumur is Syrian and Palestinians. And the majority of stores owner who are selling tobacco and beer and magazine and naked women's is what? Yemeni. And Moroccan and Egyptian is a thieves in the street and restaurant, haram, and bartender, and big pocket. And Pakistani and Indians, the banking system. Do you see it or no? We're challenging Allah through the major sins. We challenge Allah, we tell him, Allah, we're not going to be the leader of Islam, we will be the leader of major sin in the United States. I challenge you, I take you a town to a town, major town in the United States, street to street, and I will show you. And you know why our masajid is corrupted too? Because the money coming is haram. A lot of money is haram. Is no barakah. And we want blessing. And the key of all evils, getting away of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The key of all evils, getting away of the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In case I die tonight, I will come to tell you. Okay, where do we go from here? Very simple, start by yourself. If every one of us start by himself and correct, this will be a winning to the whole ummah. Because number one, I correct myself. Building good manner. Building good habit, get closer to Allah, Allah will accept me, finished. Nobody can stop me. But why Allah will accept me? Can Allah accept me as a dirty person, stingy, full of haram money, I love everything except Allah? Can Allah love me and accept me as an inviter to Allah? And we worry about all the activity, but we not worry about cleaning the heart for the activity. Is this understood? Don't ever forget it. Very soon, if I'm still alive and you're still alive, we're going to start with revelation, inshallah, and some of the Quran, I believe, inshallah, can change our life, inshallah. Any question, any concern? Okay, please do yourself a favor. Not me, do yourself a favor. After any meeting with me, don't talk. You want to talk in a very low voice? Talk only about Allah. Talk to each other about something benefit. If you have nothing to do about Allah, don't talk. Even hello, how are you, how are you doing, how are you cooking and all this. When you go outside, sit. When we meet outside, we can talk. But now, let's be calm, doing dhikr.
Somebody asked me to ask you, is there such a book as the one you book on
Dreams, yes.
And
do you know where it is? Sure, but let me tell you something. Books about dream also is complicated. I will teach you one way to know dream. Number one, if you know somebody you trust, you can talk to them. If not, my father taught me something so beautiful. Who give you the dream? Or? Shaitan. By the way, before you tell me any dream, I always ask anybody, what time you get the dream? Do you get it in the beginning of night or in the end of the night? Are you going to sleep in a state of wudu or not in a state of wudu? Are you sleeping in your stomach, in your belly, or are you sleeping in the right hand side? Are you sleeping with the head toward the Kaaba or on the right side of the Kaaba, or are you sleeping anywhere? Because today we have to understand, you cannot be completely bye-bye and have a dream from Allah or a vision from Allah. By this way, you have to be follow the Sunnah first. Or maybe you're lucky and Allah is going to give you a gift, it's His business. And at this time, very simple. Vision from Allah is a messages. And this message is either a glad tidings or a warning. Meaning Allah give you a news, or He tell you a warning, or He advise you about something. Now, how I know? For example, you cannot come to me and tell me, I was walking in Manhattan, and somebody took a taxi, and he ran, and he took this, and I went to the grocery store. No, this is from Shaitan. But I'll give you, for example, one dream from Allah, inshallah. When a person, for example, see the Kaaba, see Quran, see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or, for example, a woman, for example, go to a cave, and in a cave is a wind, and all of a sudden, from the darkness, she see light all over, and water coming, and somebody was white, take her and calm her down, is a message. By this way, a vision or ru'ya or manam from Allah always come around Fajr time, or before Fajr time. Can it come any other time? Yes, it can come, if Allah want, but the majority like that. And when you wake up, you will see or you feel some nice feeling or uptight. And if it's nice feeling, meaning is a good news about something. If you uptight, for example, somebody came and introduced himself to you and you're going to get married, and all of a sudden you see something and you're uptight, meaning something tell you, get away. Or you feel in shock, you feel your heart and your chest is open. By this way, is a lot of meaning about it. Inshallah, very soon you can ask me this question and we go step by step how to know the dream from Allah, from Shaitan, and what you do is a dua after that. And the most interpreter one of the dream is whom? Allah, the one who give you. By this way, if you see something and you're not sure about it, pray to Raqqa at night and say, Allah, you give me something, I do not understand it. And cry to Allah, can you explain it to me? Please show me something. Give me something in my heart. Open my heart, Ya Allah. Because books is dangerous. Because books, if you do not have enough knowledge, you can read the wrong page and there's a wrong terminology. It needs a lot of knowledge before you read. And you add to that, if I show you the original book and the translation in English is completely different. Like the original book like this, the English translation like this. Wonder what happened. The person who translated, he summarized what he want. Do you know what is good, what is not? No. The best, go to seek what I tell you. Number one, go to Allah. Number two, go to somebody, according to Rasulullah, somebody you love and you trust, and tell him I saw this, what it means. And if you can't find somebody, well, Allah, Allah will guide you. Okay, inshallah. Any question, any concern, we have only a few minutes. But please do not lose time. Don't act nasty. Respect the house of Allah. Do you know when I was young, somebody told me, you want to know who you are? See how you behave in the masjid, Allah will open for you. Listen to this carefully. See how you behave in the masjid, Allah will open for you. The more you respect masjid, Allah will open for you. Don't ever go to Mecca and Medina and act with a bad manner. Ever. Even if somebody insults you, if somebody beat you up, if somebody steals from you, leave it to Allah as a trial.
But the main thing is you control your manner, because you are now under all kind of video camera running by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's going straight to Allah. The more you respect Allah in His house, the more you seek Allah mercy, the more you will receive. This is the place to receive. This is the bank account of a Muslim. This is the bank account of a Muslim. You know who you are? This is the bank. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك سبحانك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على الحبيب المصطفى صلاة تملأ خزائن الله نورا وتكون لنا وللمؤمنين فرجا وفرحا وسرورا وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا اللهم ارزقنا علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء اللهم بارك لنا فيما نعلم وارزقنا نور العلم وحكمة العلم وتوفيق العلم ورحمة العلم وبصيرة العلم والعمل بما نعمل والعمل بما نعمل والعمل بما نعلم يا رب العالمين اللهم ارزقنا الإخلاص في السر والعلانية اللهم ارزقنا الصدق في السر والعلانية واجعلنا هداة المهديين غير ضالين ولا مضلين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه